You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
You know, I think we've certainly added some competition. I think that was really important. You know, I think not the only position we added a lot of competition, but I think, certainly we're very much a belief that competition is going to bring out the best and the cream's going to rise, and that's something we needed to do, and I think we accomplished that.
It's time to put a big green and gold bow on the 2022 NFL Draft. Let's did this. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down the third and final day of the draft for our beloved Green Bay Packers. Packers had six picks Saturday, the final day of the draft. A trade with the Denver Broncos in the fifth round dropped Green Bay back a handful of spots in that round and allowed the Packers to pick up an extra seventh round pick. So instead of six players to discuss, we've now got seven. Jesus, seven? I gotta talk about seven of these guys? For real? I'm kidding. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get this popping. I'll talk about each day three selection made by Green Bay, and then once that's done, I'll give my overall thoughts on the weekend and how I think Brian Gutekunst and company did for themselves. Before we get into the fun, I hope you're having fun already, although I am only 75 seconds in, so that's debatable. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. To email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good too, and a comment. Hopefully it's positive. If it's negative, leave that too. I've got thick skin. I can handle it. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there also. And again, I want to remind everybody, if you're listening, you know what? I've been saying if you're listening on a platform I don't mention, let me know. Let me know however you listen. If it's iTunes, if it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever the case may be. I want to know where you're listening to the show from. That would be great. So you can hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, send me an email, let me know. I'd love to hear it. That'd be great. And you know, again, let me know where you're listening from. Where do you listen? At work, in the car, at the gym? You know, am I there while you're, are you, am I in your headphones while you're doing the bench press? Whatever the case may be. You know, what city are you in? What state? What country? I would love to know all that, so let me know. That would be really appreciated. Okay, now that we've got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about these picks. Seven picks to discuss here. Oh my God, seven picks. Gutekunst on Saturday kept with his theme from the first 2 days of the draft, almost exclusively targeting receivers, the offensive line, and the front seven. Now, since there's seven of these, I'm not going to be doing 10 minutes on each pick like I did for the Thursday and Friday recap, so they'll have a little more of a lightning round feel. That's why it's not like I'm going to do 30 seconds, but it's not going to be 10 minutes either. I just want to let all of you know that going in. Okay, so let's start with the first pick Saturday. In the fourth round, 132 overall, the Packers selected another wide receiver, Romeo Dubs, wide out from Nevada. So, you know, if you listen to the show after the games during the season when they win, I always say, let's go. Let's talk about this Packers dub. So for them to start out day three by drafting a player whose last name is Dubs, I love it. Hopefully he will have a big game next season. I can say, this Dubs led dub. I'm very, very much looking forward to that, if you can't tell. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? You're in Green Bay. Sorry, that's so cheesy, but I had to do it. I've been thinking about it. I was just like, I'm gonna do the Shakespeare thing. I don't care. This is the big weekend recap. I don't care. I'm letting it all hang out. So some, right, some I've already lost my mind. Some of the particulars on Dubs, 6'2", 201 pounds. He eclipsed 1,000 yards receiving in each of his final 2 years at Nevada, with last year being his best year. Dubs caught 80 balls for 1,109 yards and 11 touchdowns. Yards per catch, 13.9, was a little down from the year before, where he averaged an outstanding 17.3 yards per catch, but still, 13.9 is impressive. Now, he didn't do the combine or pro day because of a knee injury, but he, I mean, obviously, right away, he's a classic height, weight, speed guy. And according to CBS Sports, he ran close to a sub-4.5 40 at an individual workout prior to the draft. So, yeah, right, 6'2", 201, sub-4.5 40. I mean, that's height, weight, speed. So, right away, that's something you like. Now, he was a big-time downfield threat for Nevada. So, regardless of his 40 time, he showed that functional football speed, as the late Bill Walsh called it, as I've mentioned on the show before. Functional football speed, meaning I don't care how fast a guy is when he runs his 40 in shorts. How fast is he when he puts the pads on? How fast is Dubs? Fast enough from what I see. Hands may have been a bit of an issue earlier in his career, but he seems to have corrected that, so I'm not too concerned about that at this point. And his hands, you really notice his hands when you watch him, when you see him make plays over and over again in traffic. This guy comes up with those contested balls. That's something that could definitely endear him to Aaron Rodgers right away. And he brings value as a punt returner. I could easily see him winning that job in camp with the Packers. You know, he did some nice things as a punt returner, and the Packers don't really have, I mean, it's been a position they've been trying to fill for a while now. So it'd be nice to see him take that job, and I think he can. On the downside for Dubs, now he is a limited route runner. He's going to, like Christian Watson, he's going to need some work there. So I wouldn't expect him to make a ton of impact right away. And while he had that functional football speed in college, will he in the pros? We don't know that yet. We shall see. But I like this pick. I think he's going to start out as the number five receiver in camp. And in time, I could see him become... I would say his ceiling is probably a number three wideout. Don't know if I see him going much higher than that, but that's not bad. I like this pick. If you can get your number three wideout in the fourth round, I mean, that's good, you know? Still in the fourth round now. This is a comp pick for the Packers, number 140 overall. They go back to the offensive line and select Zach Tom, tackle from Wake Forest. 6'4", 304 pounds. As we all know, the Packers love offensive linemen. I've talked about this throughout the weekend already on the show. They love offensive linemen who are versatile and intelligent, right? You pretty much can't be a Packers offensive lineman if you don't check those two boxes. Tom definitely does. Started his time at Wake as a center before moving to left tackle for the final 2 years. So there's the versatility, the intelligence. He won the Jim Tatum Award. There we go. Which the ACC gives to the top senior student athlete among football players. Check and check. Tom, I tell you, he's really strong in pass pro. Remember, you have to say pass pro so people think you're smart. He's technically sound, moves well, fluid mover. That comes across when you watch him. You love all that. He's not the most violent guy. I think he may lack that mean streak to a degree. Probably needs to get better as a run blocker, get maybe a little stronger. But there's a lot to like about this pick. I really like this pick. I know I mocked him to Green Bay at least a handful of times in the roughly 10,000 mock drafts I did online. It was a guy who always seemed to be there in that fourth and fifth round range, and that's where the Packers took him. I think he's a guard in the pros, but he could play tackle if need be. Now, I said the same thing about Sean Ryan, their third round pick this year, I know. But I actually think Tom is even better suited to slide outside than Ryan. And Tom brings the added bonus that he could play center as well. So there's starter potential there. But I ultimately think he ends up kind of like Royce Newman being a super reserve, you know? Even more so than Newman, because I think Tom will be a guy who, you know, his floor is super reserve, key backup at tackle, guard, and center. For a fourth round pick, I mean, that's great value. Great, you're not going to find better value than that in the fourth round. And hey, with the way NFL offensive linemen get beat the hell up, he'll start somewhere eventually, you would think, right? Even if it's just in spot duty. So, yeah, nice pick. I really like that selection. One of my favorites in the weekend. We move to the fifth round now. Packers drop back 8 spots in the aforementioned trade with Denver. Pick up an extra 7th round pick. So with the 5th round selection, number 179 overall, the Packers select Kingsley Enagbare, edge rusher from South Carolina. 6'4", 258 pounds. Now, he mostly played defensive end for the Gamecocks. And if you're wondering, Chris, did you have a hat, a University of South Carolina hat in high school that just said Cox? I sure did. Do you remember those? Do they still make those? I know the University of South, because my sister got her master's from the University of South Carolina. And that was a big moneymaker for the student bookstore, were the hats that just said Cox. Then underneath it, it said University of South Carolina. I definitely had one of those, in case you were wondering, in high school. I just wanted to share that. But it's widely assumed he'll move to the edge spot in the pros, which makes sense given his size. I mean, at 258 pounds, there's no way he's a defensive end, particularly in the 3-4. So he's an edge guy. Last season, he finished with 44 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble in 12 games. Now, his best year, probably his junior year, the year before, 2020, where in just 8 games, Enagbare finished with 30 tackles, 6 sacks, and 2 fumbles forced, earning him first-team All-SEC honors. For his collegiate career, he finished with 15 sacks and 24 tackles for loss. I gotta say, I was really surprised he was on the board still late in the 5th. He was a guy I think most people had as kind of a late 2 or at worst early day 3 pick. I know I personally had him as the 6th best edge guy left after day 1. So yeah, to see him on the board late, you know, at 170, at 179, I was definitely a bit shocked. Now, there were some Twitter rumors Saturday. People were tweeting at me that they had seen some stuff, that there was some medical stuff with him that maybe caused him to fall. I never did see that confirmed anywhere. So I can't say, I'm not really sure at this point why he fell so far. I know I personally tweeted sometime early in the 5th round that I couldn't believe he was on the board still and that I thought he'd be a nice pick for Green Bay. And voila! Goot made that happen. Thank you, Brian. Power. That's the first word I think of with Enagbare. He is a big, strong dude. Obviously good size. He knows how to use that size too. Excellent body control. Tough guy, goes hard all the time, good motor. Are you sensing a trend with that? Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, now Enagbare, all guys with good motors. They don't have that reputation for taking plays off. They have the rep for going hard all the time. That's excellent. You love that all three guys they're bringing in the front 7 have that. That's awesome. Now, the big issue with Kingsley is that he's not the most explosive guy. More of a strong man than someone with that jump off the line, that explosion off the line. Probably needs to add some pass rush moves to his repertoire, too. Probably not going to be able to just power by guys in the pros like he did in college when you watch him. Now, I'm not sure he'll ever be a starter, but I think he'll be a guy who consistently sets a good edge in the run game, strong, you know, strong edge, and can offer you, say, anywhere from maybe 4 to 6 sacks a season. I think you can move him around a little, too. I think he can come off the edge. I think you can line him up over a guard or a center standing up. So there's some versatility there. Someone who will probably compete with Tippa and Ramsey and Garvin for time behind Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. His ceiling is probably that, a number 3 edge guy. But hey, if he hits his ceiling, I mean, that's, again, that's really good value in the 5th round. I like this pick. I feel good about that one. We move on to the 7th round now. The 4 7th round picks. I had 4 7th round picks. Jeez Louise. Can I say that again? I had 4 of these things. All right, first pick was Tariq Carpenter. Oh, sorry, first pick, number 228 overall, Tariq Carpenter, safety, Georgia Tech. Now, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, he had a photo of himself as a youngster. He tweeted out after he was picked, a photo of himself as a youngster wearing the Super Bowl champion shirt after they won Super Bowl 45. So, apparently he's been a Packer fan for a while, so that's pretty cool that they ended up drafting him. The particulars on Carpenter, 6'3", 230 pounds. Last year for Georgia Tech, had 65 tackles. A little light on the playmaking stats, as you would expect for a 7th rounder. Just 1 forced fumble and no picks. Though he did have 4 total interceptions in his time as a Yellow Jacket. I also had, you know, I had a Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets hat when I was in high school, and I have no idea why. It was all yellow, probably because I liked the color, and it was fitted, and it had the... It actually had the yellow jacket on the back, where, like, the Major League Baseball logo would be. on the back of one of those hats. I have no idea why I had that hat. I had some weird hats in high school. I'll say that. anyways, pretty impressive athlete. Carpenter had a RAS score of 9.06. You know, the Packers love the RAS score. Included in there is a 4.52 40 time, which is, that's pretty good. That's quite good for someone his size. Now, he's listed as a safety, but he operated almost exclusively at linebacker at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. And I think he'll be a guy who can play both spots for the Packers. You know, he'll bring that versatility. His ability to play the run, as of now anyways, I think is his biggest asset. I think he's better there than he is in coverage. But then if he goes full-time or even partial-time at linebacker, I think his coverage skills then become kind of a strength, you know? Like, maybe not great coverage skills for a safety, but pretty good coverage skills for a linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Worst case scenario, I think he's well on track to become an absolute freaking special teams demon for Green Bay. I'm sure new special teams coach Rich Bisaccia loved this pick. Loved this pick. He is going to use Carpenter in a lot of different ways on special teams. I think that's pretty obvious. This guy was built to play special teams, at least right away. We move on now to pick 234. This is the pick they got from Denver in the trade. Defensive tackle Jonathan Ford from the U. That's right. The Miami Hurricanes. Six, I just wanted to do that. I literally, on my notes, I have the U typed out because I love those I love those 30 for 30s on the U and then the U part two. I probably have seen those so many. I don't even know how many times. So anytime they draft a Hurricane, I'm always excited because I can at least do that. With Ford, 6'5", 333 pounds. So right away, that jumps out at you. He'll come into Green Bay as the heaviest defensive lineman on the roster. Just a couple of cheeseburgers bigger than TJ Slayton, who I believe is 330 pounds. Last year, now he didn't do much for Miami last year. Seventh rounder, right? 14 tackles, one for a loss, no sacks. His biggest year was his junior year where he recorded 3 sacks and 3.5 tackles for loss. Good power, as you would probably expect with someone his size. His get-off is pretty good. He's got some zip off the snap. I noticed that. He might be a little too big. He may need to shed some weight. I don't know if 333 is where he should be at in the pros. And he may not be, I gotta say this nicely, he may not be the most aware player on the field at all times. So maybe some work there. Hope I said that nicely. And the production, the production just hasn't been there. Now, there's no nice way to say that. He's someone I think he'll come in and compete with Jack Heflin, the training camp standout from last year, for that number 6 defensive lineman spot. So at the very least, they brought in another athletic big who can create some competition on the roster. You know, for a 7th round pick, that's not bad. We move on now to pick number 249, Rashid Walker, tackle, Penn State. 6'6", 313 pounds, big man. Interesting pick here. Walker is a guy who, by all accounts, had he been in the draft a couple years ago, could have maybe been a day 2 or early day 3 pick. So that the Packers got him in the 7th, potentially good value for Green Bay. Was almost exclusively a left tackle for the Nittany Lions, so not incredibly versatile in college. I think he'll be a little more so in the pros because I think he's going to be a right tackle mostly because I'm not sure there's flashes of the athleticism, but I'm not sure he's quite athletic enough to handle left tackle. Maybe could move inside and be a guard too. So yeah, I think there'll be more versatility there. I think he'll be a guy who primarily will operate at right tackle. Maybe could be like your third string left tackle if absolute disaster strikes. Maybe could kick inside and play guard. So some versatility there potentially. Powerful guy. Obviously, again, good size. 6'6", 313 pounds. I don't know if he's a good enough athlete to play left tackle. But I think the athleticism will become an asset in terms of the right tackle spot. And really, the thing I took away from studying up and watching Walker was, and you know, reading up on him, it kind of just sounds like he needs to be more consistent. Maybe leveled off a little at Penn State. So I think he needs to be unlocked, a little bit to some degree. And you look at the Packers, they certainly have an offensive line coaching staff capable of doing that, don't they? So there could be steal potential here with this pick. Again, not sure if he has starter capability, but I think he's certainly someone who could become a valuable reserve player. And if you can find that in the 7th round, at a spot as important as offensive line, I mean, that's a win. You take that, right? We move on now to the final pick of the draft for the pack. Pick number 250. I think it was, what, five picks from the end of the draft for Mr. Irrelevant? If the Packers ever, I don't think they've ever had Mr. Irrelevant in my lifetime, that pick. If they did, would they sell the jersey? Whatever it is, 263 or whatever the pick ends up being in the pro shop. Because I'd probably buy that. A jersey that has number two. That's, it'd be kind of goofy. But I'm a sucker for stuff like that, so I probably would. What am I saying? I would buy that. So maybe they'll get the Mr. Irrelevant pick someday. That might be kind of cool. as for this pick, Packers went with wide receiver Samori. I got to make sure I'm saying his name right. Hang on a second here. I do want to get the pronunciation right. Hold on. I'm sure it's scintillating. Chris, are you Googling how to say Samori Toure? I am. Samori Toure. I think I am saying that right. Apologies if I am not. that was. I'm looking at my recording line. It was just like all very low ripples on the recording while I'm like looking up how to say his name. The particulars on this selection: 6'1", 191 pounds. Now he was an FCS monster, putting up pinball numbers at Montana before transferring to Nebraska last year for his 1 year of D1 ball, where he played pretty well. 46 catches, 898 yards. So that's a whopping 19 and a half yards per catch. Holy crap. And 5 touchdowns. Now, there's a lot to like about him. First off, good hands, strong hands. You love that. Solid route runner. Toure, now he's a guy who you can potentially move around, could become a LaFleur favorite in that respect. You kind of line him up all over the place. Very smart player, good toughness. But the downside, he's also, you know, he's not incredibly explosive, even though he did average 19 and a half yards per catch last year. Maybe not a big-time athlete. The one thing you hear and you read over and over about him is build-up speed. So while I think you could move him all over the place potentially, he's probably going to see most of his time in the slot, kind of a big slot option, which, you know, that's not terrible. Someone who should be the number 6 receiver this year and in time could maybe top out as a number 4 guy, probably Toure's ceiling. But again, if he can get your number 4, if he ends up cashing in and he's your number 4 receiver and you got him in the 7th round, great value. So yeah, there we go. Did that in just about 20 minutes. That wraps up my breakdowns of all the selections. Looking now at the weekend as a whole, I got to tell you, I really like what Gutekunst did. I said on the preview pod, I said it on Twitter right before the draft. Literally tweeted it right at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, Lambeau time. I thought the biggest three things he had to accomplish this weekend were add pass catchers, specifically wide receivers, add playmakers to the defense, with a focus on the front 7, and replenish the depth on the offensive line. The Packers were very thin there coming into the draft. Well, check, check, and check, as Gutekunst, at least on paper, accomplished all those goals. Remember, he said it himself after the draft, you never really know till you get these guys to Green Bay and, you know, you see them up close. And then I have to do the, you know, no, we don't really know until 5 years after the draft. what's the fun in that? Don't be that guy. What? Don't be that guy. Nobody likes, that's not fun. Nobody likes talking to him at the party. I'll tell you what, Gutekunst and I were really in lockstep, weren't we? Because I said those were the three things he had to do, and that's what he did. Maybe I can get a job there. But look at the 11 picks. 3 wide receivers, 3 offensive linemen, 2 defensive linemen, an inside linebacker, an edge rusher. That's 10 out of 11 picks that fit into those three areas that I said they needed to address. And although Carpenter played safety in college, like I said earlier, was a linebacker at the Senior Bowl, I could easily see him transition there, if not full-time, then at least part-time in the pros. So really, that may end up being basically 11 out of 11 as far as what Goot drafted compared to what I said they needed to do. Not bad, Lamps. Not bad, Lamps. The Packers are now, again, on paper anyways, a much more complete team than they were heading into the weekend. The defense now really has the capability to wreck shit via the selections of Walker and Wyatt. Aaron Rodgers will have a better group of receivers to throw to, if not right away, then certainly I think into the future he's going to, as far as, you know, the three guys they took. And they're much better set up on the offensive line in case disaster strikes, which, as we saw last year, probably going to happen in the NFL most years. The only pick they made this weekend that I'm still not crazy about is Watson, and I fully admit he's got big-time boom potential, and I may end up being very wrong about that. Hell, I hope I am. I'd love nothing more than to be wrong on Christian Watson, and he ends up being a super stud. I'm not rooting for him to fail. What are you, crazy? I'm a Packer fan. I do this podcast in my basement for free. Of course I want them to be good. So for anybody who listened to the show or saw me on Twitter and is like, well, you're waiting for Watson to fail. I'm not. I hope he makes me look stupid. Hell yeah, let's go. The only areas I thought Coot might target that he didn't were corner and tight end. The big three at corner, Josh Stokes and Douglas, obviously awesome. But other than Shamar Jean Charles, there isn't much behind them, you know? Really not much of anything. I do wonder if they're going to end up hunting for a veteran, because they do have a little bit of cap space left that they could spend, especially if they eventually, when they do sign Ja to the mega extension that he's of course going to get, hunting or maybe they'll just and maybe that's Kevin King. You know, I'm sure some people will cringe at that, but maybe they bring Kevin King back for one more run. I could see it. You know, if Kevin King is your number 4 or 5 corner, that's not terrible. So I could definitely see that happening. In fact, the depth at corner is probably my main concern now coming out of the draft. Tight end, I'm not as worried about. You know, Robert Tonyan, he'll be back at some point this season. We know he's solid. Big Dog is about 72 years old, but he's still getting it done. Still mowing guys down and running at the speed of a rascal scooter. Josiah DeGuara, now he's not a pure tight end. More of a Kyle Juszczyk guy. But he can bring some value at the tight end spot. And I did find it interesting that Goot mentioned Tyler Davis in his post-draft presser as someone they like. I think Davis is a plus athlete. I think you saw that at times last season. Had a couple of flashes last year. So I'm excited to see where he goes this year. It could be a kind of a sneaky player to watch. Overall, I'll tell you what. I like where this Packers team is at. I do, man. The ballsy decision to trade Davante Adams, as shocking as it was at the time, the Packers have, as I hoped they would, as I said as much on my pod the night the trade went down, they have used the extra cap space, they've used those extra picks to make themselves better and more diverse, both in the immediate and in the long term, than they would have been had they simply re-signed Adams to a monster new deal. If I can go off track here for a minute, I don't even want to say the person's name, because I'm not in the business of calling somebody out. But if you were on Twitter Saturday, you know who I'm talking about. There was a certain Packers, is he a podcaster? I don't really know what he does. I think he's a podcaster. Was talking about, how the Packers essentially got Quay Walker and the ammo to move up for Christian Watson for Devontae. That's all they got. And I was like, what is this Skip Bayless bullshit? Anybody who thinks that for real, they're a take maker. They're just saying that they're just doing the Skip Bayless thing, you know. They're just trying to get you to, they're trying to say something crazy to get you to pay attention. That's not someone you should be paying attention to. Anybody who says that, that's ridiculous. They did not just get Quay Walker and the ammo to get Christian Watson for Davante Adams. You know what else they got for Davante Adams? Cap space. Devontae's cap hit next year in Vegas is about $8 million. So roughly the price now. The Packers, instead of having him, that $8 million go to Devontae, took that $8 million. That's basically the cap numbers next year for Devondre Campbell, Rasul Douglas, and the punter. That's a little bit over. Actually, I think that's, what is that, 7-6? It's a little over 9. But if you figure the Packers reportedly offered Devontae more than Vegas did, you can assume his cap, let's say Devontae's cap number next year in Green Bay is 9. Right? So that $9 million that they could have spent on Adams, they spent on Campbell, Douglas, and the new punter who kicks better in cold weather and should be a better holder for Mason Crosby, so could potentially make the special teams better. Now, so it wasn't just Walker and Watson for Adams. In fact, it was Devondre Campbell, Roswell Douglas, O'Donnell, the punter, Quay Walker, and the analytic Christian Watson. Now, if I told you, if I gave you two paths, which path are you going to take? The path that gives you Devontae or the path that gives you all those players? Come on, you're going to take the path that gives you all those players. Because having those guys makes you better than just having one Devontae Adams. As much as I love Devontae, this isn't a shit on Devontae. But let's be real about this, you know? So I thought that was absurd, but I did have a quick rant about that. Heading into this offseason, I'll be honest with you. I really, you know, if you listen to the show after the loss to San Francisco, I said it as much. I said it on Twitter in the weeks. I thought the run was over. I did, you know? But now, as a result of the moves they've made, again, including some ballsy ones, the headliner being the Adams trade, this team, I really believe, is set up to make another run at something special, both next season and in the years to follow. That would not have been the case otherwise. They are now. That's all you can ask for. And just personally, I'm way more excited about this version of the 22 Packers than I would have been had they re-signed Adams. Absolutely. Because here's why. If they had re-signed Adams, they would not have been able to afford Devondre Campbell or Douglas or the punter. They would have been going with, you know, some undrafted rookie out of ITT Tech as their new punter. It would have been going back to the teams we saw, particularly I'm thinking about the teams in the post-Super Bowl years with McCarthy. All offense and no defense. Would have been great. Yeah, we've got Aaron and Devontae. Cool. They're going to look awesome lighting up the Bears in Week 9 or the Texans in Week 11. But the defense is going to stink because you're going to be starting over again in the middle and you're not going to be as deep in the secondary. So, yeah, great. They'll look awesome, you know, putting up pinball numbers in the middle of the season. But they'll be an easy out in the playoffs, quick out in the playoffs. Just like they were in those post-Super Bowl years under McCarthy for the most part. What was exciting about that? Was there anything that was exciting about that to you as a fan? There wasn't to me. And I think I said as much on the show after they traded Adams. I was like, I'm way more excited about this team now that Devontae is not here. Again, not slighting Devontae, but I feel like they'll have a chance to do more things and fill out the roster in a more comprehensive manner than had he been on the team. So I'm very excited about that. And you want to know what? I'm not the only one that thinks this. I did want to share this tweet with you. This is from, let me find this here. Hold on. So this is from Mike Clay, ESPN NFL prognosticator at Mike Clay NFL on Twitter. He posted this today, his post-draft 2022 NFL unit grades. And which team has the best overall roster in his opinion right now? Why, that would be the Green Bay Packers. Yes. Ahead of Buffalo, Tampa, Cincinnati, and the Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah. He thinks they have the best roster in the NFL coming out of the draft. And you know what? I agree. Again, to me, the only real concern right now is depth at corner. And really, how big of a concern is that? They're three heavy at the top. What other major concerns do you have? I suppose you could say special teams. Yeah. But I think Bisacci is going to fix that. You know? Okay, receiver. Here's the thing. I'm not that worried about receiver. Because it's Aaron freaking Rodgers. He'll make these guys better. He'll work with what he has. And he'll make it better. And LaFleur will work with what he has and make it better. You know? And you still have Aaron Jones. And you still have A.J. Dillon. I feel great about this team. I really do right now. And again, that's because of the guts that Gutekunst has shown these last few months. We all thought this was going to be a dark offseason. You know, again, like, oh, great, they'll bring Devontae back and, you know, they're going to lose a huge chunk of what's made them so special these last few years and it's just going to be misery. And that just didn't happen, so credit to Gutekunst. And if that wasn't enough, along the way, he's basically completely repaired his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. A relationship that looked irretrievably broken. You know, completely broken, irreconcilable. But now it looks good. Did you see Rodgers on McAfee on Thursday night? I didn't watch it live. I watched clips of it after. He seemed giddy. He seemed very giddy and very content with his place in the organization, how his relationships are with everybody. I think he feels more involved now, which is probably all he wanted. And of course, if you've listened to the show over the last year, you know I haven't always been thrilled with Rogers' antics or maybe his beliefs on certain things. But it was nice to see Rogers. I don't hate Rogers. Again, for the person who listened to the show and thought, I hate him, I don't hate him. I've just been frustrated by him. But it was nice to see Rogers so content with where he is with the organization. That was really nice to see. It feels like the waters have really calmed, you know? And again, Gutekunst deserves a ton. Brian Gutekunst has done an incredible job this offseason. I hope people respect that. So yeah, good weekend. Feel good about where the organization is right now. Is it July yet? I'm ready to go. I'm ready for some football. Okay, so that wraps up my 2022 NFL Draft coverage. I hope you've all had as much fun listening as I did recording these. One of my favorite times of the year to be a football fan. I'm always a little sad when it's over, when draft time is over. Really, thanks to all of you for listening all throughout the last week. This is my fourth show in the last 6 days. I hope you've had a chance to listen to some of them or all of them. I hope whatever you've listened to, you've enjoyed it. You guys and gals are awesome. The fact that so many of you listen, that's what makes all this so fun for me. As for when you'll hear from me next, honestly, at this point, I'm not sure. I know I'm going to take a little break after all this draft stuff. It's been a crazy last week for me. Really, the last few weeks. Even though I wasn't doing shows, I've been researching all this stuff and watching all this footage on potential picks and making notes and documents and all this other crap. So I am just a little bit burned out. I doubt I'll do too much OTA or minicamp stuff. That's not really my thing. I used to do that back in the OBOD blog days, the blog boy days. I don't really do that anymore now. Ever since the Brandon Underwood thing. You remember Brandon Underwood? Only 36 minutes. I can do this quick. Remember Brandon Underwood? The safety from, was it Ohio State? I think it was Ohio State. Lit it up. He was the story of the 2010 OTAs and minicamps. The beat guys couldn't get enough. They were just raving about him. And then he went to Chubby's North? He went to a strip club in Madison, and well, that was the end of that. So ever since then, I'm like, you know what? I don't get too excited about this OTA stuff. I mean, I'll probably follow Jordan Love and what he does. That'll be interesting to follow. The rest of it is all just kind of, it's nice to see football on the Twitter timeline. Otherwise, I don't really take it that seriously. I do have a couple of fun off-season ideas I'm kicking around. Hopefully I can get to those before camp starts. We shall see. And of course, if there's any major news or major breaking developments surrounding the team, I'll jump back on here and discuss those. I would think maybe late May or early June I'll be back. That sounds about right. Let's go with that. And when that happens, I'll let you all know. So keep your eyes and your ears out for it. And of course, I will keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.